Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. My guest today is Chelsea Bourne. Chelsea, good morning for me, afternoon for you. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you, Lon. How are you?
I'm doing really good, and I'm looking forward to this. The topic, we're going to talk about horses, and the topic is Because Horses Can Heal You. And Chelsea's the program director of the equestrian program there at the Glen Holm School in Connecticut. And incidentally, today is June 10th, 2016, to give you a bit of a time frame. So, Chelsea, how on earth can a horse heal somebody?
That's a wonderful question. And really, a lot of people think of just horseback riding when we talk about equine activities. And horses can teach us in many other ways through equine-assisted learning, equine-assisted therapy, and various different vocational training opportunities as well.
Okay, what's the difference between equine-assisted therapy and learning?
So equine-assisted therapy, there's actually a clinician present for the session, and you're able to delve into past issues that may impact current behavior or functioning, whereas equine-assisted learning is really focused just on the present and applying those skills moving into the future. So things even like social skill building, different, you know, academic topics can also be taught using horses, so science-related topics, math-related topics as well.
So what is it about a horse that makes them so keyed into where they can have an impact in some very personal things with an individual? And in this case, we're talking primarily kids. What is it about a horse that makes
That's
them
a really,
better,
really good question.
Yeah, better than any other animals?
Sure. So horses, actually, one of the nicest things about them is that they offer unbiased feedback to people. So whereas in, you know, social situations, people often know it's not socially acceptable to have an outlandish reaction, a horse is going to give you that outlandish reaction. So if they feel scared, they're going to act scared. If they feel happy, they're going to act happy. So because they're able to offer that unbiased feedback, it's a really good learning opportunity, particularly for students like ours at Glen Holm who really struggle with that social piece, because the horse is able to recognize the way that they're feeling, the way that the student is feeling, and the students are able to recognize how their behavior and their emotions impact the horse. And again, that unbiased feedback really is of benefit to students who struggle with that social skills piece. So I think that's probably the biggest difference between horses and other animals.
All right. So it's something like a horse, in a sense, holds up a mirror, and the kid can see what they're doing based upon how the horse reacts.
Yes, absolutely. And current research shows, actually, that horses can read human facial expressions to determine what emotional state they're feeling. And so while a student may be saying to a clinician's face, "I feel fine, I'm doing well," a horse can sense that their behavior is incongruent with their emotions and then provide feedback based on the emotion and not necessarily on what the student is saying. So in that way, the horse is able to react really more appropriately than a person, even a clinician, would be able to do.
I understand that in some programs, at least, they oftentimes get horses that have had a traumatic event in their life. And I understand, under the theory that the horses can understand a child better that who's had a traumatic, they have something to share. Is that...
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, it's certainly, again, the mirror reference that you just brought up, the children can see in the horses things that they have maybe felt themselves or gone through themselves, and the horses can see in the children, or adults even, you know, that emotional connection and understanding, which a lot of our students and a lot of people feel that others don't necessarily understand them and it's hard to open up to them. Horses more inherently understand us because they can, like I said, read our facial cues and understand our emotions in that way. So it really is of benefit to work with horses who've had a difficult background. It teaches, you know, positive boundaries. And it's nice for students to connect on that really personal level with an animal who's not going to judge them.
Okay, well, one of the things that I've seen that at a couple of programs that I visited and got to see a little bit of this is that the horse picks the child. You let the horse pick you. You don't go necessarily pick a horse. Is that generally the general practice? The horse has a lot to say. They pick out a kid and say, "This one I want to have something to do with."
Yes, absolutely. Again, because they're so good at reading our energy, they know that this person is going to be kind and understanding and warm and welcoming. And it's really great to use that as a strategy to teach kids about the way that they present themselves. So we want to be kind, but we also need to be assertive. So our horses are looking to us to be their leaders, and we can't abuse that power, but we have to make sure that we're giving clear directions. And so for a student who maybe doesn't get picked by a horse, that then becomes a good learning experience for them. Why do you think that horse didn't come up to you? Are you standing in a particular way that maybe was turning them off to you? And do you think maybe people might see you that way as well? So it becomes a good learning opportunity in that sense.
So the verbal interaction between the therapist or the adult and the child is an important part, sort of a debriefing, so that the kid can interpret what's going on. They might not be able to come to that conclusion. If the horse just rejects them, they might say, "Oh, when they reject me too," and not get
Right,
anything out of it.
exactly. Yeah, and that's right. It's really important to have not only a clinician there, but also an equine specialist, because kids are really quick, especially kids who've had difficult backgrounds, to say, the horse doesn't like me, just like everyone else doesn't like me. And an equine professional is able to say, you know, I noticed the way that you carried yourself, and for this particular horse, that means A, B, or C. And that sort of processing piece is really important for students, because otherwise they can get shut down very quickly by a horse who doesn't choose them or behaves in a way that they feel is offensive.
So take the kid that a horse doesn't connect. What is the equine therapist, I presume, what do they do to help that? Or do they tell the kid how they might think differently or stand differently? Or how do they do that? How do they handle that?
Right, so this is a perfect example of a way that we could differentiate between a learning session and a therapy session. So if it were an equine learning session, we could talk about that student's body posture, maybe the way that they walked into the paddock, and how the horse assessed them. So say they walk in and they're flailing their arms around, or they're making very loud noises. That's an opportunity to learn social skills. So if we behave in this particular way, people are not going to want to be near us. Whereas in a therapy session, it could go to, have you been in a place in the past where somebody rejected you before? And why did they reject you in the past? And how did that make you feel? And is that the same situation as this particular situation? So that's a good example of the difference between a learning and therapy session. But of course, it's important to foster positive relationships with the students and the horses. And so perhaps the student is not necessarily doing anything that turns the horse off to them. And then it's a discussion about reading the emotions of others. And maybe this horse is not interested in having an interaction right now. And maybe they're having a bad day. So it's not personal. It's just that they're not feeling social at this exact moment, and that's okay. We need to be respectful of that.
Just like people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes our students have a difficult time assessing that. You know, they think everybody should be open and willing to doing whatever they want to do in that moment. And the horses are, you know, they don't pretend that they want to be your friend when they don't want to be your friend in that moment. Or if, you know, they're having a bad day, they're having a bad day. They're not going to say, "Oh, well, Joey's coming into the paddock. I guess I'll be nice to him, even though I'm having a rough day myself."
Okay, well, that sounds like something that could be a lot of good lessons in that. So why horses? Compare horses, because I know people, there's some programs based on dogs and other animals. Why is a horse uniquely tuned into humans?
Right, so firstly, like I said before about the current research about horses being able to read our emotions, is one piece. And another piece is really just the sheer size of the horse. So in a lot of ways, it's It brings us down to baseline when we're with an animal that could really hurt us if they wanted to. So there has to be that level of trust and respect in the relationship that is not necessarily there with a smaller animal. They could really do damage if they wanted to. And some of them have had really difficult lives and they choose to not do damage. And that's healing for the horses and healing for the people as well.
I imagine there's a fair amount of screening to make sure if a kid has very little self-control or is too impulsive or something, that might not be a good idea to get them into the working with the horses until they're not going to threaten the horse or hit it or something.
Right, absolutely. And there are ways that you can incorporate students like that into equestrian programming that, you know, protects the safety of the student and protects the safety of the horse. So perhaps you start with just a simple paddock observation where the student is quite far away from the horse. That's obviously a better option than having a student get on a horse or be inside of a stall with a horse. But we do want to make sure that students are capable of making safe decisions when they're down in the horse barn as
okay.
well.
Well, one other question. How does the equestrian program fit in with the rest of the, my favorite term, milieu, the general environment of the Glen Holm School? How does the equestrian program fit into that and supplement it?
Absolutely. So all the students at Glen Holm have the option to participate in equestrian activities if they would like to. And again, because we have a variety of different options available, many of our students do participate. It's really wonderful to be able to tie some of the clinical goals and academic goals into equestrian programming, which we're able to do through the equine-assisted learning and equine-assisted therapy. But sometimes it's nice to just have a relaxing activity in being down in the horse barn or riding. So we really develop the programming around the needs of that particular student, which is really wonderful.
Okay, well, that's very good. We've been talking about the horses and because horses can heal you. Now, could you tell me a little bit about Glen Holm School? And if somebody wanted to contact you and talk more about the equine therapy, equine assisted learning, or wanted to find out more about Glen Holm, how would they get a hold of you?
So if you wanted to learn more about the Glen Holm School, you can call 860-868-7377 or email us at admissions@theglenholmschool.org. That's G-L-E-N-H-O-L-M-E school.org. And we're a therapeutic boarding school for kids aged 10 to 21 in the foothills of the Berkshire Mountains in Washington, Connecticut.
All right. Well, very good. Well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. We've been talking with Chelsea Bourne. She's the program director of the equestrian programs at the Glen Holm School in Connecticut. Thank you very much. You have a good day, Chelsea.
Thank you so much, Lon.